Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Luke chapter 2, look if you've heard, starting at verse 25, it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, awaiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again tonight, Lord, for the opportunity to come to church, Lord, and hear the word of God preached. Lord, I'm so thankful tonight, Lord, for your word that we may study and that we may rightly divide and we could grow by it, Lord, and grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's somebody here who has not received Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they will consider tonight, Lord, that they are lost and they are without hope, and Lord, that they desperately need a Savior. And there's only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray tonight you'll just give them conviction, Lord, that if they're not saved, that they would call upon you tonight. And Lord, I pray as Christians here tonight that we'll take a hard look at these scriptures, see the way that Simeon reacted when he was in the presence of the Lord. And Lord, I just pray that we'll take a look at our lives as well. If there are Christians here tonight, Lord, that are not living right or harboring some sin, rather than confessing it, Lord, I'll just pray that that they'll get right with you tonight. They'll just come before you and make things right. Lord, I pray that you'll protect us from anything that would disturb us tonight. And I pray that you'll just focus our attention on your word and your message tonight, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. On Friday nights and on the eve of Jewish holidays in synagogues and temples, Jewish people sometimes pray this prayer. Shake thyself from the dust, arise, put on the garments of thy glory, O my people. Through the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, draw night unto my soul, redeem it. That is a prayer for the Messiah to come. But what the Orthodox Jews sometimes fail to understand, what they, well, pretty much always fail to understand, is the fact that the Messiah has already come. Now, they don't believe the Messiah has already come. They're still looking for the Messiah. John 1:11 declares, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." But there were a few people who did acknowledge and accept him as their Messiah. And the Bible says in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." But as a nation, Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah. Now today, today there are leading Jewish scholars and rabbis that have good things to say about Jesus. I'll read you some of them. Isidore Singer, she is the editor of the Jewish Encyclopedia, says this in regards to Jesus. She says, "I regard Jesus of Nazareth as a Jew of Jews, one whom all Jewish people are learning to love. His teachings have been an immense service to the world in bringing Israel's God to knowledge of hundreds of millions of mankind. We are all glad to claim Jesus as one of our people." Rabbi J.L. Levy said, "I personally regard him as one of the greatest spiritual leaders the world has ever known." Rabbi Rudolf Grossman said, "We Jews honor the Nazarene as our brother in faith, sprung from our loins, nurtured as Israel's knee, a teacher of sweet and beautiful ideas. a preacher whose influence has been and still is among the mightiest spiritualizing factors in the world. Now, all those things sound really good. They really sound good. But may I remind you that Jesus was more than just one of the Jewish people. He was much more than just a great spiritual teacher, much more than just a spiritual influence. He is the Messiah. He is the Messiah that came, and he is our Savior. Now tonight, I want us to see a man who waited for the coming of the Messiah, and his name was Simeon. And if you'll notice in our text in Luke 2:25, it says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now that means he was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And Simeon is often thought of, and whenever we think of Simeon, we think of an old man standing there. I will tell you that tradition tells us that he was 113 years old. We don't know if that's true or not. And there are some who believe that he was the father of Gamaliel. Now, when you read your Bible, you'll find out that Gamaliel was the one who trained Paul when he was a Pharisee, the Pharisee of Pharisees. And some believe that Simeon was his father. Now, again, we're not told in the Bible if that's true or not. That's speculation. But what is certain about this man, Simeon, is that when we meet him in the Scriptures, we see him waiting. We see him waiting. Again, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, notice it says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now, the coming of the Messiah is known as the consolation of Israel. The word consolation means encouragement or comfort. And the Messiah was seen as one who would bring the long-awaited comfort to Israel. All the way through the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come and how it would be when the Messiah would come. When you start reading in your minor prophets, you're going to see many things is talked about how it's going to be when Christ comes. Now, he came, he was rejected, but how many of you understand he's going to come again? And when he comes again, those things will come to pass. The way it says it's going to be when he's on this earth, those things will come to pass. And so he's sitting here waiting for the consolation of Israel. And when we meet Simeon in Scriptures, what we find is a man who's waiting for the Messiah to come. No doubt Simeon prayed every day for the consolation of Israel. He patiently waited for the Lord to answer that prayer. And so we see him there patiently waiting. Now, the thing I want you to understand about Simeon here is he was a man who was dedicated to the Lord. I mean, the Bible says he was just and devout. When the Bible says talks about him being just, it's saying that he was righteous and holy in the way that he was living. And all the way through, as you see Simeon, you see him as defined as a holy and righteous man. There was no one who could accuse him of doing wrong or not being totally consecrated to the Lord. Bible also says he was devout. That means he believed God and he took the things of God seriously. When we say a person is a devout Christian, today you have people, Christians that are nominal, Christians that are, they come to church, but that's about it, you know. But when we say somebody is a devout Christian, what we're saying is we're talking a person that's sold out to the Lord, someone who takes the things of God seriously, a person who comes to church because they want to come to church, and that's what we're talking about when it comes about a Christian being devout. And it says here that he was a devout man. He read the Scriptures. He dedicated his life to God, and no doubt that is one of the reasons he was actually waiting for the Messiah to come. I mean, because not only did he know the promise of God that the Messiah would come, obviously he got that from Scriptures, but he believed God. Simeon was a man who lived by the Word of God and trusted in the promises of God. And may I say, folks, that the Bible that we have is more than just a book. It's more than just something to decorate our end tables with, or it's even more than something that we just carry in our arms to church. It's a book that guides us and regulates us in every part of the Christian life. And the Bible is the laws of heaven for life on earth. And it's a book that must be obeyed and trusted. And so a just man is one who lives according to the Bible. A devout man is one who believes and trusts the promises of the Bible. I would like to think that everybody in here could be looked at as just and devout. You know, if somebody said, boy, you know, that person there, you know, maybe looking at you and say, you know, that person is a devout Christian. Isn't that a good thing to be said of us? That person is just and devout. And so that's what he was. He was a just man who lived according to the Bible and trust the promises of God. But as we look closer at Simeon, we not only see that he was dedicated to the Lord, but we also see a man who was given a revelation. In verse 25, we read, it says, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And then in verse 26, it says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So here was a man who not only knew the Messiah would come as promised by God, but he also knew that he would live to see the Messiah. And now he didn't know when he was going to see the Messiah, but he knew that he would not die until he saw the Messiah. And so Simeon lived each day of his life with the expectation of seeing the coming Messiah. I always wondered if he got up in the morning and thinking, is today going to be the day that I get to see the coming Messiah? I wonder how much time passed from the time that the Holy Ghost revealed to him that he would see the Messiah before he died until he actually saw him. Perhaps it was years. Perhaps it was decades. We don't know. But we do know this. He was patiently waiting to see the Messiah. He was patiently waiting for him. May I remind you tonight, as Christians, we've been given the same revelation. We've been given the same revelation that one of these days we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. One of these days we're going to get to see him face to face as Christians. Amen? Now, think about this. Simeon, every day, because he had that revelation, he was just, every day he was thinking, I wonder if today's going to be the day. I wonder if today's going to be the day. Am I the only one that sometimes when you wake up, you say, I wonder if today's going to be the day? I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. I can't wait to see him. Simeon was the same way. I mean, here he is waiting patiently every day. That's what we as Christians are supposed to do. We are supposed to be looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be patiently waiting to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said this in 2 Thessalonians 3:5. He says, and Lord, direct your paths into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That's the way every one of us should be. Every one of us would be just every day saying, I wonder if today is going to be the day I get to see Jesus. We're to watch and wait for the Lord's coming. G. Campbell Morgan said, to me, the second coming is a perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before the morning breaks, the final morning may have already dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work and begin his own. He was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon watched for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to watch for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we first see Simeon here, we see him waiting. He's patiently waiting for the Messiah to come. Now the second time we see Simeon, or the second thing we see with Simeon, and that is we see Simeon not only waiting, but we also see him praising. Look at verse 27. It says that he came by the Spirit into the temple. Simeon was obviously a man who was led by the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost led him to do something, he followed. He did exactly what the Holy Ghost told him to do. May I tell you, that's what we need to do as Christians as well. You know, if you're right with the Lord and you feel something on the inside just tugging you to do something, like to witness to somebody or to do something for somebody, you know, you need to do is just need to do it. Be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of times I hear people come up to me and say, Pastor, I was led to do this or I was led to do that. I say, amen. You know, that you're led, that when you're led to do something, that you do it and that you just trust the Holy Spirit's leading. But here he was led of the Spirit into the temple, and the Holy Ghost had revealed to Simeon that he would see the Messiah, and now the Holy Ghost is going to lead him to the place where that promise is going to be fulfilled. Look at verse 27 again. It says, and he came to the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. Now, you say, well, what were they doing after the custom of the law? Well, according to Numbers 18, verses 15 and 16, here's what it says. In fact, go ahead and turn over to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers chapter 18. Because remember, when children were born in Israel, they were still under the law here. A lot of people think that the law was over with once you're into the Gospels, but the New Testament never starts until the death of the testator. So anything prior to Jesus Christ dying on the cross is still Old Testament. When Jesus is born here, you're still technically in the Old Testament. So there had to be laws that had to be kept. And here Jesus, think about this, it was Mary's, who was her first begotten son, okay? Now, because of that, the scriptures were clear on what was supposed to be done. Now, in Numbers chapter 18, look at verse 15. It says, everything that opened the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beast, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shall be surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beast shalt thou redeem, and those that are be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. And so they were following the law concerning the firstborn. So certainly they brought Jesus to the temple for that. But they also brought Jesus to the temple so that they could offer the offerings required by law. If you look back at Luke chapter 2, look at verse 22. It says, and when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. And so Mary, Joseph, and their baby Jesus are heading to the temple, and they're heading there to fulfill what they're supposed to be doing. And when they're heading there, Simeon sees them. And don't you know that the heart of Simeon must have leaped for joy when they saw Mary and Joseph carrying the baby Jesus heading to that temple? And the Holy Ghost was the one who led Simeon there. It was the Holy Ghost who revealed it to Simeon that that is the Son of God that they were carrying. And all of a sudden he sees the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees that baby Jesus. And then look at verse 28. It says, then he took him up in his arms and blessed God. I can just see him as he goes over there and picks up that baby in his arms, tears in his eyes, and he thinks to himself, I'm holding the Lord's Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? And then he lifts his eyes towards heaven and begins to worship and give praise to God. Now, when we see him praising God, I want you to notice here how personal his praise was for his Savior. Look at verse 29. It says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He had been given the promise that he would not die until he saw the Savior. And now that he sees him, he's ready to go home. The word depart in peace means just that. He's basically saying, let me die now. I've seen the Messiah. Perhaps Simeon died shortly after that. We're not told. Maybe he lived a little bit longer. But regardless, he was ready to go. And you say, well, why was he ready to go? Because he's holding in his arms, he says, thy salvation. Now we say, wait a second, should that be his salvation? No, it was God's salvation. It was his plan. It was his plan before the foundation of the world that Jesus would come into this world and he would be born of a virgin, and then he would grow up and then die on the cross and offer salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That was God's plan. It was God's salvation. And he was holding in his hands, he says, thy salvation. He was looking at the one who God had given to redeem man from his sin. Think about this, folks. Simeon was holding his own Savior in his hands. And look at that little baby. He was holding his own Savior. And it says that he began to praise for his Savior. When was the last time you lifted your heart towards God and thanked him for giving his son to be your Savior? I can just imagine how he felt. I mean, not only had he had been told that he would be able to see the Messiah, but to think that he's holding his own Savior in his hands. We see how personal his praise was for his Savior. We also see the universal praise for the Savior in what he said as well. He not only praises God that he had personally seen the Savior, but notice he also praises God that God had sent the Savior to all men. Look at verse 30. He says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." Now I want to point out to you tonight, of course I know you already know this, but everybody on this planet today, now I'm talking about just people. I know that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Gentile. I understand that. But everybody on this planet today is either a Gentile or a Jew. That's the reason he said that there in verse 31, it says, "Which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." He said that's everybody. Simeon saw the salvation was not just limited to the Jews. He saw that Jesus as the light would bring light to the Gentiles as well as bring glory to the Jewish people. He saw salvation as a salvation for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All of God's people should be thankful for the salvation that he provided and offered to all men. All men, Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. Anybody can be saved today. The salvation of God is provided in the giving of his Son to whosoever will. It's for everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. So the first time we see Simeon, we see him patiently waiting for the Lord. Next, we see Simeon giving praises to God as he's holding his Savior. And then last time we see Simeon mentioned in the scripture, we see Simeon prophesying. Look if you would at verse 33. It says, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." Now, you say, well, why were they marveling at, I mean, up to this point, really, what he had done is he had held the baby Jesus and he was happy and he was praising the Lord and he talks about, he prays and he says, you know, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel." I mean, that's what he had done. And it says that Joseph and Mary here marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You say, well, why were they marveling? Well, they know who Jesus was. I mean, Mary knew who Jesus was. Joseph knew who Jesus was. But all of a sudden, they're approached by this man here at the temple, and they marveled because he knew who Jesus was. You see, up until this point, the shepherds came there, but that's because an angel revealed to them that that's who Jesus was there in the manger. But Mary and Joseph were sitting there, and they knew, and I can imagine they didn't think anybody else knew. And all of a sudden, here comes this old man. He walks up there, and he's in tears, and he's praising the Lord, and he starts prophesying, saying, "That's the one that's going to be sent to save for whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That's the one who's been sent. He's the Savior." And it says that they marveled because Simeon knew that this wasn't just any child. And then verse 34 says, Simeon blessed them. So after Simeon had spoken these things while holding the baby Jesus, he blesses both Mary and Joseph. And then Simeon begins to prophesy. And he begins to prophesy by giving a prophecy concerning Jesus to start with. Look at verse 34. It says, "And said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Many were looking for the Messiah to come with temporal blessings. They were praying for the arrival of the Messiah so that they would be delivered from the Roman rule." In fact, if you remember, even when Jesus, during his ministry and at the end of his ministry, his disciples asked him, you know, they asked him, number one, over in Matthew chapter 24, they asked him, "What will be the sign of thy coming?" You know what they wanted? They wanted him to set up his kingdom. Even when he ascended in the first part of Acts, they asked him, "When are you going to come and set up your kingdom?" What they wanted was they wanted Jesus to come and set up the kingdom because they didn't want to be under Roman rule anymore. They wanted it to be the 1,000-year reign of Christ, so that way they'd be out and under Roman rule and be under him. But may I tell you that Jesus Christ came for more than that. He came to save sinners. Aren't you glad tonight he came to save sinners? I mean, I tell you this, folks. I know that that Resurrection Sunday is, yes, it's the number one day. I mean, it's one that all Christians are so very thankful for. But you know, he had to come first. He had to be born before he could die. Amen? And so I'm thankful that he was born in that manger. I'm thankful that he came to this earth to save sinners. I'm thankful for that. But I'll tell you this, there are a lot of people that received Jesus Christ, but at the same time, there were a lot of people that rejected him. When he came, many rejected him. And it says that he would be set for the fall of many in Israel. However, there would come a future day when many would turn to him and accept him as their Savior, as their personal Savior. And then it says there would be many rising again of many in Israel. And certainly that's true. But this is a prophecy of something else as well, I believe. And it's a prophecy of Jesus one day arising from the dead and leading captivity captive. Simeon said, "This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel." Now you say, well, what are you talking about, the rising again of many in Israel? Well, listen to what Matthew chapter 20, verses 50 through 53 says. It says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielding up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of their graves after the resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." So certainly Simeon's prophecy had a lot to do with this as well, when he said, "A rising again of many in Israel." Now, today, there are those who reject Christ, and there are those who receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. But Christ came, as Simeon declared, for all men, and he offers salvation to anyone. However, many will reject him. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 1:23. He says, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." Now, I'll tell you this. I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. I'm thankful that I'm going to heaven tonight. And I wish that everybody that I come in contact with could say the same thing. I hope that everybody in this room can say the same thing, that they're saved tonight. May I tell you that Jesus Christ came to this earth so that anybody could be saved. So anybody could be saved. I would hope that everybody in here has received him. But the Bible says that it's the narrow way for those that go to heaven, and broad is the way to destruction. Now, Simeon here also said that Jesus would be a sign which shall be spoken against. You know, they spoke against his birth, although it was a miracle. They claimed that his miracles were done by the power of Satan. They said this in Matthew 12:24. They said, "This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." They slandered and mocked him at his death. We read in Matthew chapter 27, verses 39 through 42, "And they passed by, reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." You see, he came, but yet people mocked him and people made fun of him. Even today, people speak against Christ. Even today, Jesus Christ is mocked in this world. I heard this past week that somebody had made a movie about Jesus Christ being gay, being a homosexual. That's mockery. That's blasphemy. But that's what the world does. Even today, there are those who scoff at the mention of the second coming of Christ. Even Peter said this in 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." People are scoffing. People are making fun of him. People always have. This world as a whole has always rejected and spoken against the Lord Jesus Christ. However, those who have received him as their Savior bless his name as Simeon did. They don't slander him, they don't worship him, or they don't They do worship him. And there's not a born-again believer anywhere on this whole earth who does not recognize Jesus Christ as thy salvation. So Simeon prophesied, first of all, concerning Jesus. But then he prophesied concerning Mary. Look, if you would, at verse 35. He says, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now this, some people believe that this is talking about the prophesying of Mary's heartbreak when Jesus is hanging on the cross some 30 years later, when he would die on the cross of Calvary. Certainly her, you know, Mary's heart would have been broken then. So people think that it's talking about a sword piercing through her own soul then. But perhaps this prophecy had something to do that was a whole lot more wonderful than that. You say, what could this possibly be talking about, this prophecy about Mary? Well, I want you to notice there in verse 35, if you look closely, it says, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. You know, if you take a sword today, and let's say if there was a battle going on and somebody gets ran through by a sword, that sword goes through the flesh, but that sword doesn't go through the soul. How many of you understand that? Only God can kill both body and soul. You say, well, what in the world could pierce the soul? Well, turn if you would over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'm going to show you what this prophecy perhaps had to do with. I personally think it does. Hebrews chapter 4. And look at verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and of spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, keeping that in mind, the prophecy that Simeon gave to Mary was this: yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. You see, what is that saying? I think that's a prophecy that Simeon gave to Mary concerning that one day after the cross, that Mary would be saved and she would become a new creature in Christ by the word of God. Simeon waited patiently for the Messiah. And then the day came when he finally saw him. And when he saw him, he praised God for the Messiah, and he was ready to go home to be with the Lord. My question for you tonight is this: are you patiently waiting for the Lord? Are you looking for him every day? Do you wake up on days and say, I hope this is the day. I hope this is the day. Are you thankful that the Father sent his Son, your salvation, to this earth? Do you realize if he hadn't have done that, that there would be nobody in this room that would ever make it to heaven? Amen? If he wasn't born, he couldn't have died. And if he didn't die, there isn't anybody going to go to heaven. But he was born. And he did live 33 and a half years. And he did go to that cross, and he died for the sins of men. Are you thankful for that tonight? That's your salvation, folks. That's your salvation. You know, I tell you this, when we think about it, we should almost, even though I don't think we're ever going to be quite like Simeon was, because Simeon was actually holding the Son of God in his hands, and I can only imagine what that must have been like to hold that little baby and look down at that baby and say, that's my Savior. That's my Savior who's going to come, who has come to this earth to die for me and for everybody I know. Now, I can't imagine how wonderful that would have been. But may I tell you that tonight, if you're saved, Jesus Christ is your salvation. And when you even think about him, you should get just as fired up and happy as Simeon was. Amen? When we think about it at Christmas time, and you know, tomorrow night we're going to have the candlelight service, and we're going to talk about how Jesus Christ came into this world, and we're going to be thinking about tomorrow night about the manger, and how Jesus was laying there in that manger, and how what the shepherds must have thought of when they came up there, and we were going to think about all those things. But even though we weren't there, we've got more than what they have. More has been revealed to us than what was revealed to tell you the truth, even more than what was revealed to Simeon. Simeon knew that Jesus Christ was sent to save the world from sin. He knew that. But he didn't know everything else that we know. We've got the completed Word of God. We've got all these revelations that Simeon didn't have. Would you agree tonight that we should be pretty happy when we start thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ and our salvation? Are you thankful that he saved you tonight? Are you thankful that he saved your spouse, your kids, if they're saved, your grandkids? I mean, think about your salvation just for a moment. Think about what Jesus Christ did for you, and think about how wonderful it really was that he ever decided to do it in the first place. Folks, let me tell you something. None of us deserved it. None of us deserved for Jesus Christ to even be born in this world, let alone die. We need to be thankful for our salvation. Amen? Let's stand.